Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Terry Crisp in less than 30 minutes. That's right. Going to join us. We'll get Crispy's thoughts on game number four or game number two. We are live out here at Social Furniture, West Nashville, Charlotte Avenue. Come on out and register to win a pair of tickets to game three and a pair of tickets to game four. Caroline Fenton is here. So last night, the Predators got beat. And we've heard a lot of positivity and a lot of positive talk about how they didn't play that bad last night, which I didn't know that was our bar for the playoffs, was whether or not they didn't play that bad or I didn't. I mean, I thought that we looked at the playoffs as a reason to win. You know, that there was winning or losing. It was binary, and that's how we approached it. But I guess not everybody felt that way. But last night was a little interesting in the postgame press conference. Now, I had a question for John Hines because I think this is the most important thing with last night's game and the entire series. Is last night, the Predators outshot Carolina 32-31. But every shot the Predators have, I feel like Nedeljkovic is just staring at. He can glove it if he wants.
Right
he
to his chest.
It, right in the chest. Right. I mean, no difficult saves for Alex Nedeljkovic. I just don't see it. And so to me, yeah, they're getting opportunities, but they're not getting good opportunities. And I asked John Hines about that after the game last night, knowing that, hey, they just lost the game. The coach isn't going to want to talk about this, but I figured it'd be something we were going to talk about. So I asked John Hines about it after the game. Here's what Coach Hines said.
Yeah, John, why is it when you guys get into their end, it seems like maybe you have one or two looks at it and they're not really high quality chances. When they get in your end, they almost set up shop and get a lot of high quality chances. What's kind of the difference between you guys finding those high quality shot attempts in games three and later on in the series?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a little bit more to it. I'm sure we'll have media, you know, tomorrow or the day of the game, probably to give you a more, you know, substantive answer. I would say right now, you know, they're a heavy pressure kill and, you know, they force you to be able to make plays under pressure and quick ones. And I think, you know, we're a pressure kill too, but I think they find a way to be able to release pucks and make that next play to be able to get a set or get us stopped on the pressure. And that's, you know, I think we have to do a better job getting into the zone, number one. And the second one is we've got to do a better job of making that next play to stop the pressure. And if you do that, then you're going to be a little bit more successful here.
Basically, they've got to see the next pass before they make the next. And I felt like that was a good question, and I thought a good answer, right? Like, you know, I ask the question, he tells me why. Fine. And I believe this. Any coach can answer any question however they want to answer it. You cannot force an answer from a coach. You cannot look for an answer from a coach. Those are the coach's words. They're not your words. They're not. So that's what he's, okay, fine.
Don't want to frame a question.
Next question, Joe Rexroad. Now, I laughed when Joe asked this question, and Caroline, I'm pulling this up on my phone just so you can see it. I literally lit up Joe when he asked that question. See, right there.
Good question, laughing emoji, laughing emoji.
So here's Joe Rexroad's question to Coach Hines that followed my question. Take a listen.
John, we talk a lot in these playoffs about goalies stealing games. Did you think that Saros played one of those games and that it was basically squandered tonight?
Is that you? Is that Joe?
Could you hear me? You got me?
Yeah. Did you ask if our goalie stole the game or their goalie?
Well, no. What I was saying was Saros' performance tonight sort of a classic, you know, goalie stealing a game in the playoffs, you know, that obviously you didn't win, but it was, you know, what about this, the squandering of his performance?
I thought our team played well.
Okay.
But that was it. That was the entire answer. I thought our team played well.
I will say this. I probably listened to that clip about 10 times. That, Joe, is that you?
That's the best part.
That's Hines saying, Joe, that's a stupid question.
Like he was dumbfounded that Joe would ask that question.
Let me say this. I thought the substance of Joe's question, what Joe, first of all, Joe clearly is writing an article. And you should always know who's asking a question. A radio host like me is going to ask you a kind of topic that we're going to debate, like the high quality chances. I think the reason the Predators are losing is because they don't get any high quality chances. Everything they shoot is from the perimeter and they have no chance of scoring. Well, okay, this is what the coach said. What do we think about it? Let's take your calls. A TV guy is going to ask you a question that's like, you know, how big is tonight's game? Which is always like kind of a dumb question, right? But in TV, they get 30 seconds to talk about sports on TV. So, you know, they're like, and tonight in sports, we've got a big one as the Rabbits take on the Buffaloes. And here's what the Rabbits coach said.
Those mighty Rabbits.
Today's a big game for us. We really got to go out there and play hard. All right, back to Johnny and weather. You know, like that's what they do. So Joe is very clearly trying to write an article about Soros stealing a game that he didn't steal. I understand Joe's question, but he's trying to lead Hines to give him the quote he wants for the article. And instead, the question Joe asked was not a good job of asking that question.
Well, I'm not here to critique Joe's interviewing
skills. Why not?
Skills.
We critique everybody else. If we are willing to critique them, then they should be allowed to critique us, and we should be willing to critique this kind of situation when something happens.
Well, I guess my critique is more so John Hines' answer.
To Joe.
To
the Steve Lehman one that follows.
Either.
Because Steve Lehman, and again, remember, TV guy.
Yes.
And remember that TV questions are different than writer questions, which are different than radio questions. Here's what Steve Lehman asked.
What do you hang your hat on, or what do you take as a positive to get some, I guess, positive mojo going into game three?
Regarding what?
Just the way you're playing. How do you take a positive or have a positive mentality going into game three?
I think the last two questions, like, did we watch the same game? You know, I think when you look at the hockey game, we played a pretty good game. I thought their goaltender made some really good saves. We had good looks. I think you look at shot attempts, you look at shots, you look at offensive zone time, you look at how the game was played. We've got to do a better job on the power play. But I think the last two questions, you know, I think there's a lot of good things to come in the game. We're in a series. We're a better team than we were in the first night. We obviously know the power play has got to be better. But I think there's a lot of positive going out of this game and then coming home.
So you can tell Hines was clearly testy there. Do you have an issue with Steve's question or with Hines's response to it?
I don't have an issue with the question because I think it's very valid. You're down 0-2 in a best-of-seven series.
I mean, is this not like sports question 101 for, hey, you're down 2-0 in a series, you're going to get asked this question?
Exactly. And it's, you know, what are you going to take out of this? What are you going to do to keep momentum rolling forward? Because that's what everyone wants to know. Look, you got beat twice in a row on the road. What are you going to do to turn the series around? And I think that's something that we're wondering. I think that's something that fans are wondering. What is going to be different? And I do have an issue with the way that John Hines answered it because he said, did we watch the same game? I guess we didn't. And if he wants to say that he has positives coming out of the game and like that's what his rally cry in the locker room, that's fine. That's what his business is in the locker room. But when it comes to speaking with the media, just come up with a couple tangible things. Yeah, we're going to address the power play. We're going to get into the goal. We're going to be aggressive for 60 minutes and not have patches of 5-minute stretches down during the game, whatever it may be. Whatever he wants to say in the locker room to get his guys fired up is one thing, but he has to have a few things that he wants to change moving forward. And if he doesn't, that is what worries me moving forward.
So is it the actual coaching or is it the answering of the question?
Because
to me, those are two totally different things.
I think it's the answering of the question.
So my issue with his answer of the question, and I mean, honestly, I could care less. Like, my theory is this. A coach can say whatever they want to say.
Right.
Because they're held responsible for their words. So, you know, it's not, you know, whatever. No one's going to remember that it was Steve Lehman that asked that question.
And I don't expect him to be super excited and super pumped to talk to the media after a loss.
Well, my theory on that, though, because a lot of people will say that, right? Like, hey, what do you expect? Coach just lost a game. And coach just lost a game. You expect him to. Coach makes millions of dollars to do that. And guess what? If I made millions of dollars to do it, I would sit up here and answer every question after every radio show about everything you didn't like. I would sit up here today and say, yeah, Jared, in the 4 o'clock hour, you guys took a phone call from Robert in Nashville, and he said that they should fire Mike Mularkey, and he pronounced his last name Malarkin. What are your thoughts on that? Well, Steve, I think that's a pretty good question. You know, it's interesting because
gotta get out there, gotta execute.
So I have no sympathy for a coach who loses a game and has to answer questions. Your job is to coach hockey. My best friend growing up is the chief resident at St. Thomas Hospital.
Flex.
He makes a mistake, somebody dies. I talk about the Titans and the Predators for a living. There is a very big difference between the two, and I am very cognizant of that. So when I hear this idea of like, you know, a coach just lost, of course he's going to be mad. Guess what? He ain't the first coach that lost a game. And guess what? He's not going to be the last one. So, but I'm not mad about Hines and the way he answered the question. I mean, I get like, you know, he's, I just didn't think Steve's question was that bad. When Joe asked the question and he said that to Joe, I was like, okay, like Joe, come on now. The question asking was bad. Like the execution of the question was bad. Because he was trying to lead Hines into what he wanted him to answer about Soros stealing, whatever. He could have just asked, John, how well do you think Soros played tonight? And that probably would have given him the quote that he wanted for the article, but...
I'm sure Joe will write that down for next time.
Poor, you know, that was a poor execution of a question from Joe. What's wrong with Steve Layman's question? I mean, seriously, what? I mean, that is typical sports talk 101 kind of question. Coach, you're down 2-0. What do you guys hang your hat on that you can believe in to get back in the series? Guess what? I asked Ryan Johansson the same question. I asked John Hines the same question before the game. And Hines gave me like a 2-minute answer. I don't get why Steve's question was that bad. Now, again, Hines can answer it however he wants, but I mean, goodness gracious, like, it doesn't, now, I know for some people, it changes the narrative that they didn't play well, because I, as I told you, I've heard some, hey, they didn't play so bad talk, but, I mean, what was wrong with Steve's question?
And I could totally see the way that he was planning to frame his sportscast. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I could see the way that it was going. Look, Preds fans. Predators are coming back to Nashville. This is what they're going to change whenever they play game three, whenever they get back to Nashville. This is what you have to look forward to whenever they come back home. I see what he was doing, and that's a very valid question.
So, I mean, again, you can answer anything however you'd like to do it. That, I mean, for me, you can do it however you like. I mean, what was wrong with Steve's question? That's the thing I keep wondering. Like, and now these aren't typical press conferences. You got to raise your little hand on the app, and then they call on you, and then you got to unmute it. And I like the Zoom press conferences because that means I don't have to fly to, you know, Calgary to go cover a game and ask a question. But if that was one of those things where you jump in, I mean, there's a part of me that's kind of like, what was so bad about Steve's question? 615-737-1025. What was so bad about it? What did you make of Hines last night after the game? And do you think that it was a deeper frustration with Hines last night than just the questions being asked? Or do you think Hines is onto something that maybe they didn't play so poorly? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ian's back in our wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We are live at Social Furniture in West Nashville, where, again, you can register to win some tickets for Game 3 and 4. Just stop on by. Just register right there, and you are in. And by the way, Crispy's going to be on. I do have one little bone to pick with Crispy. We'll go over that next, and we'll also talk about the power play a little bit. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
And the Hurricanes take a 2-0 lead over the Nashville Predators with tonight's 3-0 victory over Nashville.
There you go, Predators losers last night. Terry Crisp in less than 10 minutes. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of Nashville SC. Listen in Sunday, Nashville SC, Austin FC at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game coverage 7:45 in the match at 8 o'clock. I have a bone to pick with Terry Crisp. So we played the clips in the last segment, Joe Rexroad. Ian, if you could get us Joe's question again, because, again, and I love Joe. And, you know, Joe would be the first. If I asked this terrible of a question, Joe would be the first to lay into me. But when I say terrible, I'm talking about the execution of the question,
the
not the content of what he was asked.
The essence of the question was fair.
Yes, this was what Joe Rexroad asked yesterday.
John, we talk a lot in these playoffs about goalies stealing games. Did you think that Soros played one of those games and that it was basically squandered tonight?
Is that you? Is that Joe?
Could you hear me? You got me?
Yeah. Did you ask if our goalie stole the game or their goalie?
Well, no. What I was saying was Soros's performance tonight sort of a classic, you know, goalie stealing a game in the playoffs, you know, that obviously you didn't win, but it was, you know, what about this, the squandering of his performance?
I thought our team played well.
Joe, is that you?
Ear, Joe.
Was that,
is that
you, Joe?
You, Joe?
Was that you, Joe? That is. You know what? I got to give Hines credit because that's pretty funny. here's what Lindsay and Crispy said last night on the Bally Sports broadcast. Crispy's going to join us a little bit. Steve Lehman asked a generic question, and here's what they said on the TV broadcast, the local TV broadcast after the Hines press conference.
Well, Crispy, I'm not particularly sure how to pay that off. No, you know, I gotta stand with the coach, though. I have to stand on coach's side. I agree with him. I think the team played a good game, and I don't know what else to say other than I thought it was interesting the way that coach addressed those questions. What about you?
Lindsay, I'm chuckling because I coached for 22 years.
I was going to say, you've been in that hot seat.
And I've sat on that podium and had more stupid, ridiculous questions asked of me. And you got to sit there with a straight face and answer them and try to hold your cool.
Right.
Try to bite your tongue and try to answer them because that's the game. That's the way it's played. And Coach Hines did a great job of it.
No, he didn't. We're talking about it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the day after the game. He obviously did not do a great job of it. And then the second thing, again, and I will bring this up to Crispy. What was so bad about Steve's question?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
I still can't get over that. Oh, I still can't. And again,
like what are we going to do to turn around momentum? Like, that's fair. You're down two games in the playoffs.
The idea that we should have sympathy for the coach after losing the game for answering questions when he makes millions of dollars to do so is not, I am not going to lose any sleep at night over hurting a coach's feelings, period. But especially in a post-game press conference. I mean, I'm just not going to, every time that I think about firing somebody, right? Like saying like, oh, they should fire someone or whatever. I'm like, look, I make millions of bucks. So that comes with the territory. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jaden is up next. We're live at Social Furniture in West Nashville with your chance to win Preds tickets. Go ahead, Jaden.
So I'm not going to comment much on the press conference last night except for saying that Joe's question was a little skeptical, but I just wanted to comment on last
nice
night's game.
Yeah.
Just wanted to comment on last night's game more than anything. I thought the Preds played a good game overall. Obviously, 0-7 on the power play is not going to cut it in the Stanley Cup playoffs, not at the slightest. But, I mean, if the Preds will stop shooting from the blue line towards the net, they're going to be okay. They just need to improve their scoring chances. I mean, Nedeljkovic played a heck of a game last night.
See Jaden, this is where I disagree, and this is where I really want to get with Crispy on, and I appreciate your call. The idea of if they stop shooting from the blue line, they've been doing it for 4 years. They've been shooting from the blue line. That's their offense. And it used to work because they used to have Shea Weber and P.K. Subban, and for some reason Ryan Ellis was much better at it at one point. But, like, that's the offense, and they've tried to change it. They bring in Matt Duchene, and there's one guy, Tolvanen, who has a little extra in his game than that. But that's the shooting from the blue line on the power play has been the most frustrating aspect of their power play struggles for forever. And I still can't tip my cap to Nedeljkovic, because I thought he made a lot of easy saves. I didn't think there were any real difficult saves that he had to make compared to Juice, who I thought Soros had to make about 10 great saves last night. And so the quality of what they were doing, I just didn't vibe with that.
He had a few good snags, but I'm not going to give him the credit of, oh, he stole the game.
No.
I don't think that he did that. And to Joe's point, I think that UC Saros did have the potential to steal that game. But
if it was 3-0 at the end of one and it ended up being like a 5-0 game, 4-0 game, would all the happy talk about, hey, they play well, would that exist? And that to me is how Saros stole that game.
Right.
Because people are trying to argue that it was a good game. It's 1-0. It was essentially a 1-0 game.
Yeah.
Because he made it a 1-0 game. Crispy will join us next. We got a lot of questions. Terry Crisp, as always, going to join us on the program. And we do love Crispy, even if we disagree. We still love him. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week, it's buy one, get one free tickets to Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Double your fun and double your savings with BOGO admission. Two parks, two tickets for the price of one. Get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Crispy next. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we are live out here at Social Furniture. Again, West Nashville. my old stomping grounds out here in West Nashville. Social Furniture, we got your chance to win tickets to Game 3 and Game 4. Again, Social Furniture, the Memorial Day sale, which they'll have delivery the next day and set up what is available in stock. Memorial Day sale up to 70% off, interest-free finance. And again, their address is 5412 Charlotte Avenue out here in West Nashville. Terry Crisp joins us on the program. Crispy, of course, Bally Sports. Crispy, I have a bone to pick with you, but we'll get to that in a second. I do want to start with this.
Am I first in line or am I just one of many?
You're well, one of many right now, given the way this series is going. You've seen a lot of hockey in your life. This is not the first 0-2 deficit in the history of the NHL that has ever been seen, and it would not be the first time a team comes back. But there are a lot of people, myself included, who look at how good Carolina is and how it feels like they've really flexed their muscle on the Predators, and I have a hard time seeing the Preds getting back in this series. So put your coaching hat on. How do they get back in the series?
We got to win some games. We got to find a way to beat this. You know what? I still have faith. I still have optimism. There's a light at that in the tunnel, and I'm going back to the way we played them for one goal games throughout the season when we were in them. I'm going back to the last game that we played toe to toe with them. If we got a few lucky breaks or whatever, and I'm calling them lucky breaks because their goaltender played unbelievable. He matched Saros blow for blow at each end of the ice, and we were right there with them. So that gives me hope and faith that if we can play that way that long with them and just stay with it, and I don't say miracles happen, but along the way in the sporting world, you and I both know. So, no, I'm very, very interested in seeing our next game. That, to me, will tell me more of a tale than anything.
Here's where I guess I disagree with maybe the narrative that, and Coach Hines talked about this in his press conference, but I didn't feel like Nedeljkovic played a great game. I thought that Saros was making unbelievable saves that he couldn't see, and it was just fantastic. Nedeljkovic, I thought he was looking at most of the saves he made. I didn't feel like the Predators, they're passing. I didn't see a lot of tape to tape where all of a sudden the puck would move quickly and then there'd be a shot. I didn't see a lot of that last night, Crispy. And I felt like a lot of the attempts were all around the perimeter. They just pass it around, shoot from the blue line. I didn't feel like they put a lot of pressure in terms of high-quality chances on Carolina, and I think a lot of that is because Carolina is just suffocating them in the offensive zone.
You know what? There's a lot of that. There's a lot of truth in what you've just said. I can't argue with it. I'm not going to try and fib and say, yeah, you're wrong. A lot of it is true. But again, we were there. He gives up rebounds as you watch and see the game. Sure. We just never got to them, and that's the biggest thing. They boxed us out. They're big. They're strong. And we didn't put out the horses, or the horses didn't want to put out to get to the loose pucks, to get to the pucks. A few of the guys did. Some of them went to scrums. I mean, Benning and a few of the guys dropped the gloves. And I'm not saying that's necessary, but they got, that's showing that they're angry, showing they're emotional, showing they're still in the game. For the most case, most of them are. But we have to figure out how to get to the front of that net and stay there, not just hit and run a big 18-wheeler turn anymore. And having said that, we got to start to get our guns, our cannons, meaning, and here's what I'm going to tell you. Josi, Ellis, and Ekholm on the point have got shots second to none. They can fire the puck. And they're smart enough to get it through and on net when they're on their game. If we're going to ask them, and we are going to ask them to do that if we're going to be successful, they have to do that. We got to ask guys to go to the front of the net and stay there. And I mean, I seen guys the other night that I was a little irritated with. They'd make a pass through, and we'd be winding up for the shot, and by the time we let go of the shot, he was there in front and disappeared, gone. And if we're not going to pay the price to stay in front of that net, success is going to be hard to come by.
I felt like last night on the power play, Terry Crisp is with us, I felt like I went back and watched every power play, Crispy, and I felt like one thing that killed me was too many passes the Predators were trying to make did not connect, where you watch Carolina, and it's like, I think it was, you know, Teravainen sends it up to Hamilton, right on the tape to Aho, and there's no, Saros has no chance on that back door. And I look at the Predators, I felt like Eli Tolvanen made a pass to Matt Duchene, which got right on the tape, and Duchene wasn't ready for it or double clutched it, and by that time, Nedeljkovic had turned over and was staring right at the puck. They pass so much better than the Predators do. I don't know how you fix that mistake in one day.
You know what? It should be a mistake you don't have to fix. You're playing NHL hockey. If you can't pass tape to tape now, you shouldn't be in the NHL. And if you can't snap a puck real quick and do it, hey, I go down our lineup, I know players that can do it. I've seen players that have done it. And there's no excuse, no rhyme or reason why they can't do it now, unless it's their heads aren't in the right place. So you're right in the respect that you might get two good slick passes, bing, bing, against Carolina. And if you listen to the pregame last night, one of my things to know was that we got to get smarter at shooting it. If we make two passes and the lane is open for a split second, take it, because that lane's going to close and you're not going to get the perfect shot. So we're looking for the perfect shot, the perfect play. It's not there. They're not giving it to you. So if that's the case, then we'll take what they give us. If they give us a half a second, we're going to take it. If they give us a shot from the sideboards, we're going to sling it towards the net, on net, and have traffic like all the other teams are doing to us to make a big scrum in front of the net. So my way of thinking is this now. If you're going to be cute in the corners, they're going to let you stay in the corner. If you're going to be cute up along the boards, they're going to leave you there. If you're going to be cute going back and forth on the up on the blue line with the puck, they're going to leave you there. But if we get one quick pass, and then Josi steps to the middle and gets right back on his stick, I guarantee you, if it's snap, Josi will get that puck through on net before anybody can block it or before they can do something. So to me, it's just a matter of execution. And that's what you described is all execution in your mind to get it done.
And to your point, Crispy, I went back and watched all the 7 power plays today. And after the second power play, it felt like the Predators had lost all confidence and their ability. And I think that then makes a team like Carolina, who already has a great penalty kill, it makes them say, well, then who cares if we rough a guy into the boards? Who cares if we hook a guy? Who cares if we trip a guy? Because we'll go right back on the penalty kill and we'll stop them. And it felt like when the Predators lost their confidence, they were too hesitant to make those passes. I saw a lot of guys trying to stick handle in between two guys, and every time they tried that, one guy poke check it, the next guy would take it, and all of a sudden, Carolina on the penalty kill is off to the races, and I just don't think that's a track meet that the Predators want to play with them.
Hey, Josi saved our bacon so often. I mean, stats, you know me, I'm not a stat person. The biggest stat I know is what the big scoreboard reads when the game is over, to me. That's the biggest of them all. But that game, their penalty killing, I love it. When I was played, I was mostly a penalty killer. I watched the Russians be aggressive and taught some of their penalty killing. That's what Carolina is. Okay, they're good at it. They come over the boards with four guys saying, we can beat these five. I want to hear my five guys coming over the board saying, these guys aren't beating us. We're going to snap the puck around. We're going to move it. We're going to take as many shots as we can muster while we're out here. And if you're going to do it, you better have your mindset better be that Carolina, one of the best penalty killing teams in the league, we have to. And you're right. Too many guys decide they're going to be Lone Rangers. I'm going to put the team on my back and carry the puck from in. You're not going to do it against this team. Little 8-10-foot passes, and you said tape to tape, give and go, get it back. When you get over their blue line, you should be a time clock in your head saying, when we get in over that blue line, we have maybe 10 to 11 seconds to set up, get one good shot before they have five guys back. You go into their routine, their blockouts, their box that they set up. Okay, then every time we get over that blue line, let's put the clock on and say, one pass, two pass, bingo, on net. And that's all for nothing if nobody goes to the net and nobody screens the goalie or gets loose pucks or is tapping in rebounds.
Terry Crisp was our guest. All right, Crispy, my bone I have to pick with you, and that is last night I asked a question. John Hines, good answer in response. Joe Rexroad asked a question that I thought, honestly, was poorly executed on Joe's question-asking front. Then Steve Lehman asked a question, and Coach Hines said, you know, hey, guys, did we watch the same game? I thought we played well. You guys on TV said that you guys were talking about the questions. Crispy, I got to ask, were the questions really that bad yesterday in the press conference? I didn't think they were that bad.
You know what? I don't say they're that bad because I was a coach for 22 years, and I sat in that podium where every coach has been, and I have been asked inane questions. I have been asked super great questions. I have been asked in-depth questions. I have been asked the same question 4 times over that we tried to do. And you know what? There's certain areas, and as a coach, you're up there, and you're not happy, and you're just boiling. And the one that I love to hear is Tortorella because he says that. But most coaches take the highway, and they say, okay, I got to go back into that dressing room and talk to my players and that. This is not the podium I want to use. Not that we want to shy away from it, but we don't have the privilege of putting it out there on the podium like we'd like to.
Sure.
But we're still trying to be honest with you guys. And there does come a time when you get upset up there. And I know you guys have to ask them. And I know they're legit questions you're asking. They are. But again, sometimes it just tweaks you as you're when you're up there. And you just want to scream the answer. But you have to bite your tongue and you say whatever, like Coach Hines said. But by and large, I got to tell you, in my estimation, Coach Hines in those scrums is one of the best I've seen at Hammond.
No, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, if you were to compare Laviolette and Hines in terms of post-game press conferences, I mean, I'm not sure Peter would have had a post-game press conference yesterday. And you know me, Crispy. I love Peter. My issue with the whole thing was the Steve Layman question, Crispy. This is what Steve Layman asked. I just don't think that this is that weird of a question. Here's what Steve Layman asked.
What do you hang your hat on or what do you take as a positive to get some, I guess, positive mojo going into game three?
Regarding what?
Just the way you're playing. How do you take a positive or have a positive mentality going into game three?
I like, is that a bad question? Like, that's just a regular question, right?
Yeah, I don't see it out of the ordinary. I mean, it's one that would ask, you know, a reporter be saying, okay, I looked at this game tonight, and you as a head coach and your staff, what will you do to get your guys going? What will you say? Will you, you know, like I said, there's questions, but it just, you know what it is? I'm beyond. It's just the way it tweaks you. And it just, when it tweaks you the wrong way, you just snap. And I've heard you snap at callers too.
Oh, sure. No, for sure. My theory, too, I'm not mad at Coach Hines. This is my thing, too, on asking questions, Crispy. And I actually want your opinion on this as a coach and as a media guy, which is a lot of times I feel like people ask questions in press conferences because they want a certain response or answer, or they want to try to, like, trap the coach or something like that. And my theory is if I have a question, you ask the question, and he is entitled to answer it however he wants to answer it, because at the end of the day, those are his words, and he's the one who has to answer for them and not me. So if John Hines wants to say whatever he wants to say, I'm with you. I mean, I just looked at it, and I was like, I just don't think those are bad questions. I mean, I think that's,
but you know,
that's fine.
But you know what, Stiller? I understand where you're coming from. And I know, you know, the easy way out is, you know what, guys, I have no comment on that. I really don't want to discuss that right now. Later, at a later time, I'll do that. And it's not that we're angry with you or it's a dumb question. We're not alluding to that fact. It's just that at that given time, we want to choose our words very carefully, because once you spit them out, you can't chew them back. And those words will come back to haunt you, whether it's the next game, the next month, or 2 years down the road. I've had phrases thrown out at me that I'd said 2 years ago to a different team in a press scrum. So from that point of view, Steeler, yeah, we are guarded as to how we answer.
Now, I will say this. If I wrote you a head coaching check right now, would you have any problem doing a press conference?
Heck no. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. See, that's why I don't have any sympathy, Crispy, for these football coaches after games that'll be like, we just lost a game. How am I supposed to? Hey, you make $4.5 million. You can answer some questions after the game. Terry Crisp, as always. Crispy, appreciate you. Take good care of yourself. And hopefully we are having some game 5 and 6 talk next week.
I love it, Stiller. Stay with us, big guy, and tell our fans out there that, hey, we need them, and we know they're going to be there. It's going to be a plaza party, a full building, and the Carolina Hurricanes fans said they're the loudest. I got my doubts. See you at the Bridgestone.
See you, Crispy. Terry Crisp joining us on the program. Let me say this, too, by the way, by those Carolina fans. 12,000, my ass. I mean, come on.
It was way more.
That
was
like,
place was rowdy.
That was 15, 16,000. 12,000. Get out of here. That was ridiculous. The Predators will have 12,000. I mean, I don't think the Predators are cheating. And I'm not saying Carolina's cheating, but I'm also not saying they're telling the truth. So maybe I am saying they're cheating.
Who knows? Calling them a truther?
No, isn't a truther like the opposite of it?
No.
Like, so if you're like a
9/11
truther, you're
lies.
One of those people. No, but like if you're like one of those 9/11 truthers, like those.
Like a conspiracy theorist?
Yeah, those like crazy people that don't think it exists, then you're like, that means that you believe 9/11 didn't happen.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if the like opposite of a liar is a truther. It's just saying the truth.
I don't
over
know if
your,
that's
over
I,
your head.
That may, I mean, makes sense to me, but I don't think that's how that's used. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll react to what Crispy had to say. 615-737-1025. Plus, we got to get some headlines with Caroline as well. Stillman & Company, we are live at Social Furniture, again, out here in West Nashville. Again, interest-free finance, no credit check, no money down, and again, enter to win those tickets for Games 3 and 4. You heard Crispy how important that's going to be. 5412 Charlotte Avenue out here in West Nashville. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 again. Tonight, when I was at home, not because I was watching the Predators power play, but I felt bad because we had headlines with Caroline, and she brought in something from Good Morning
Football. Well, we barely had headlines with Caroline.
And that's why I felt bad. Caroline spends so much time preparing for headlines with Caroline, and then she had something about Good Morning Football, and I just lost my mind about it.
No. You didn't lose your mind about what I had to say about Good Morning Football. You just lost your mind about Good Morning Football itself.
It's the worst sports show on television. I take that back. It's the worst sports show on television that I have seen. I have never watched First Things First on Fox Sports 1, but I've heard that it's pretty terrible. Like the Nick, he's always on Cowherd's show all the time.
Oh, I don't know.
Nick Wright, that's it. He used to be with Chris Carter, and I kind of liked Chris Carter, but then Chris Carter, whatever, went up. Anywho. Hey, Smashville, the game Nashville and Dos Equis is bringing the party. You text the word GOLDEN to 615-737-1025 to qualify for the ultimate in-home watch party. And did I mention one lucky fan is getting tickets to a playoff game at Bridgestone Arena? Get a dose, Smashville. Must be 21 or older to enter and win. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. It is time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So there was a little bit of a contract signing today in the NFL. Tim Tebow signed his contract with the Jags today. One of the texters wanted to make sure that you knew that, because he didn't know if you knew. He wanted sure that I told you. So Damian Woody made a comment about it today on NFL Live, unless you have a bone to pick with NFL Live.
I said it was a good show yesterday.
Okay, all right, then we'll continue with NFL Live. Damian Woody said, we're talking about a guy who hasn't played the NFL in 8 years at a different position. You're going against grown men with their hands in the dirt, and you think he's going to have a big impact? Come on. And all of this talk about Tim Tebow, and obviously so, but do we really think he's even going to make the team? Or think he's going to play?
I do not think he will make the team. I think this is a really bad idea on the part of Urban Meyer. And again, I know people like Urban Meyer and people like Tim Tebow and people like, and I get it. But my bigger beef here is that it brings a situation to Jacksonville that they probably don't need. I mean, I'll say this, as a Titan fan, the Jaguars signing of Tim Tebow is great news. And it's not the actual signing of him to play tight end, because I don't even think he's going to make the roster. I think it is kind of what that signing represents, which is that Urban Meyer thinks he's going to go down to Jacksonville and reinvent the wheel. It didn't work for Nick Saban. It didn't work for Lou Holtz. It didn't work for Steve Spurrier. It didn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, I'm sorry. It doesn't work for these college guys that think they're going to go down there and do things their way. And Urban thinks he's going to do it. So as a Titan fan, you should be glad that they signed Tim Tebow. But, man, I think this is just so stupid. And it's just so, I mean, like, you have Trevor Lawrence. You have the potential to have a decent team. And you're bringing the circus act to town.
And, I mean, that and the combination of Travis Etienne taking reps at wide receiver. And I said yesterday, I really don't think it's that big of a deal right now, because it's not. It's May. He's not. We don't know if Travis Etienne is going to go out there as a wide receiver.
But it's what just, it represents.
It, what it represents in addition to the Tim Tebow signing. And Paul Feinbaum came on the Midday Show today and said, you know, well, Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer have this relationship that's kind of like father and son, but they just love being around each other that so much. So there are a lot of people that I like being around. I'm not going to put them on my team. I just think it feels so gimmicky and it feels so unauthentic. And if Tim Tebow makes the team and he becomes one of, you know, if he becomes Trevor Lawrence's lead target, then I would be more than happy to swallow my words. I just think that the likelihood of that happening is very low.
This is the NFL. There is no room for father-son relationship in the NFL. I mean, the second you start doing that, everybody else gets better player. Look, doesn't do it for me. What's next?
So, would you mind if I shared my Good Morning Football note from yesterday since I didn't get a chance to?
Please, the floor is yours.
Okay. Maybe cut his mic just for now. So, three analysts on Good Morning Football chose one quarterback that's getting overlooked in 2020, and Peter Schrager said Matt Ryan.
They
said,
well, he's got good cleats.
Does he have good cleats?
That's why.
He said consensus Alvin Kamara was the best cleats in the NFL.
That is true.
I would like to think so. Matt Ryan probably has boring cleats. He doesn't look like a fun cleat guy, but regardless. Peter Schrager said Matt Ryan. They said he's kind of going to reignite this offense with Arthur Smith and the addition of Kyle Pitts, and they may not even have money to pay Kyle Pitts, but that's a completely different story. Jane Slater said Ryan Tannehill. She mentioned how he never gets the spotlight. He deserves the spotlight with an 18-8 record since 2019 and the highest passing rater in the league since he got his start. Sean O'Hara said Carson Wentz deserves a lot more hype going into the 2021 season. He mentions that he threw for 27 touchdowns with very few targets. He only had Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, had essentially no wide receivers when he was in Philadelphia. But are we getting way, way, way too excited about Carson Wentz to the Colts? I just think it's getting hyped up for no reason. It has no substance to it. It's just the idea of what Carson Wentz used to be and the idea of what he could become in Indianapolis.
So it's a true story that the Indianapolis Colts made the trade for Carson Wentz on the same day that I met Caroline. And I literally was working out Joe Rex Road, and they loved because I was like all drenched in sweat when I was celebrating on a video the signing of Carson Wentz. And I was so excited. Do you remember how excited I was when we Zoomed and you were?
That was the first thing we mentioned.
And I'm sitting there wearing a hoodie. And I'm like sweating. I was like, I couldn't care less. I was like, Carson Wentz. The reason I love the Carson Wentz signing or trade is that it allows Indianapolis to have a quarterback who I know is not going to light the world on fire. I mean, with Indianapolis, you know, there's a fear that they draft the next guy. You know, they would have had the tools to jump up ahead of New England and take Mac Jones. Now, I don't know if Mac's the guy or not, but you never know at this stage if those guys are the guy. Right now, Indianapolis, if they hadn't made the move for Carson Wentz, they could have been the team that trades for Aaron Rodgers, and it would have made a lot of sense. So the fact that I knew that Indy was settling at quarterback just made me so happy.
When they potentially could have just held on and maybe possibly have gotten Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Deshaun Watson or...
Well, I don't know if they want Deshaun Watson at this point, but...
Sure, but if they waited a little bit, like maybe...
It could have come to fruition.
Maybe the glove doesn't fit and Deshaun Watson can play football and there you go. I mean, again, I don't think it's very likely. I'm just saying what if. But, like, I know what Carson Wentz is. And I know that it's not that good.
Right.
And
Jeff Darlington said it fascinates me that we continue to talk about Carson Wentz as an MVP candidate. He's not on the level of Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, guys who had just recently come out as favorites for NFL MVP. They were talking on NFL Live about Carson Wentz potentially becoming an MVP candidate. And I think that is just shooting for the moon there.
At least they weren't talking about his cleats. What's next?
So this is kind of a sad one. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. So former Austin Peay defensive back and also Nashville native Ontarius Bryant was hoaxed by someone pretending to be Dean Pees, which is just the saddest thing. Poor kid. So an Atlanta cell number pretending to be Dean Pees texted Ontarius Bryant and said that they were interested in him coming out to rookie minicamp and trying out for a spot on the team. So he flew to Atlanta. He went to the Atlanta practice facility where he was turned away because they said, we have no idea what you are talking about. Poor thing. He flew to Atlanta. He thought he was getting his dream shot. And he posted on Twitter. He said, I don't know or understand why this has happened to me, but I do know everything happens for a reason. So poor kid.
So I will say this about Dean Pees. I love Dean Pees. Dean knows I love Dean Pees. I mean, I love Dean Pees. Somebody imitating Dean Pees, you have to have a miserable existence.
I mean, come on.
You know, like we talk about all the time about like the, you know, the, like Charles Barkley always brings this up when like some blogger says something about him and he's like, you in your mama's basement and your underwear and you're, and like, and I.
They might be.
I mean, I usually don't associate people on the internet with that anymore because apparently you can make $1 billion Bitcoin mining or whatever.
Not anymore. Cryptocurrency is kind of in a weird spot right now.
Back in the day, you could have.
Ah, yes.
Back in the day of 2012.
Yeah.
But anywho, I just think, man, just what a sad, sad existence if you're trying. Poor kid, though.
Poor kid. He thought he was getting his shot.
Hopefully he does get a shot.
And I'm hoping this doesn't become a thing where people just pretend to be coaches and there has to be this whole screening process. It's just sad.
Well, wasn't there a story a couple years ago where some kid, like, committed to UCLA? And UCLA was like, we didn't offer him a scholarship.
Yes.
And he had, like, told everyone that he was, like, getting offers from, like, Alabama and Texas and USC and UCLA and Notre Dame. And he ended up, and, like, had a press conference to say he was going to UCLA. And it's like,
we don't know who you are.
Yeah. Those are headlines with Caroline. Coming up next, the three up, three down, three things we liked from last night's Preds loss, three things we did not like from last night's Preds loss. We will get right into that next. We, again, are live for one more hour out here at Social Furniture. That's right, out in West Nashville. Stop on by and register to win those tickets. Again, that's Social Furniture, where we are today at 5412 Charlotte Avenue out here in West Nashville. Stillman & Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.